Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, so what you're telling us is there's an entire like community of people in New York who are wandering the streets in crazy outfits and dancing and shit, and they're all on some kind of spiritual mushroom-fueled quest.
I was one of those people. I was one of those people. So do the math. There has to be like 300 other people that had to do the same.
That's true.
In the city.
And you have walked with these people.
I've found these people because I've been. You walk and you find.
And where did they take you?
To the park, to where the music and the community is.
Place to be.
And what did you guys do there?
They smoked a weed.
Yeah?
And danced. And then I was like, all right, have a great day.
Welcome to Tea Time with T-Kid. I'm T-Kid. This week on the show, we've got Michael Zaitsev, founder of the High NY Meetup and the author of The Entrepreneur's Guide to Cannabis. He's going to come through and talk about cannabis business, cannabis media, and the general direction of the legal cannabis industry. Then my buddy Skeletor is going to come through, and he's got some really fancy raw vegan edibles for us that we're going to try. Now let's get started with a little conversation about what exactly High NY is. Mike, you are the founder of High NY. Tell the people, what is High NY?
Sure, and thank you for having me. It's really an honor to be here. I'm like thrilled to be here.
Thanks. My pleasure, man. I mean, so we first met when you invited me to speak at High NY, and I was writing about cannabis, and I showed up and I talked about cannabis and the media. I don't remember exactly what I said, but you know, in general, I think it was something about how like I'm doing it right and everyone else is doing it wrong. Right?
And you were right. Let me tell you.
Now, there's a lot of great weed writers out there, but can you tell me or just explain for the massive Tea Time audience what exactly is High NY?
Sure, High NY is a community of cannabis activists and entrepreneurs in New York. And every month there's an event with a guest speaker from a different part of the cannabis community, whether that's business, medical activist, you know, politically involved, all different aspects. And, you know, it gives people who support cannabis and the re-legalization of the plant an opportunity to get together, meet each other, collaborate, learn something, and hopefully be inspired to take some kind of action with, you know, about this thing they're passionate about.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been super, super fortunate that people in the community have supported me by coming to speak at events like Steve D'Angelo, Ethan Nadelman, you. A lot of other great people that took the time to come educate the community. And I think this industry and everything that's happening is so new and there's still so much misinformation that, you know, the more people can learn what's really happening, the better off we'll all be down the line. Mm-hmm. So
it's a really cool event series. And I mean, you know, you've really brought together a lot of people who are passionate about cannabis, who now see the opportunity to turn that, you know, into business. In a lot of cases, there's a huge entrepreneurship, you know, factor to High NY. Once it's federally legal, there's going to be a lot of major corporate interests who can cultivate a lot of cannabis who are going to want in, and they're going to get in and potentially defeat all of these grassroots companies. So do you see hope in the future of the cannabis industry, or is it just all darkness?
I don't think it's all darkness. I think there's a lot of green, and it's just going to take a few more years because the industry is a startup industry. There's not a lot of infrastructure that the tech industry, the finance industry, or any other mature business industry, it doesn't have the same infrastructure. These guys can't bank, you know? They can't write off like the most common business tax deductions if they're touching the product because it's still federally illegal. So there's still really a long way to go. But to me, as an entrepreneur, that's super exciting because the rules haven't been written yet. The rules are being written right now. And that process is influenced by people who are active right now and in the mix, contributing somehow right now. So it's like, to me, the most exciting industry you could be a part in. And, you know, I've worked in Silicon Valley, I've worked on Wall Street, but this is, I think, the biggest opportunity for entrepreneurship that, you know, and it's super exciting because no one knows how it's going to play out.
Yeah, so, I mean, one of the kind of initiatives or, like, you know, mission points for you and for High and Why, I suppose, too, is, like, creating a social environment around cannabis, right, as opposed to alcohol. This is something that really resonates with me because, you know, I don't drink that much, right? I drink very rarely and kind of lightly. And to me, I mean, you know, I smoke a lot of weed, but in a place like New York, that relegates you to your home. And actually pretty much anywhere, even in places where it's legal, you can't really smoke anywhere. There's no place for you to go. They have like clubs, I guess.
Yeah, but you can't go hang out and blaze and meet people and be at a venue that's not someone's home. You know, that's like a social venue where other people are interacting and meeting each other and socializing, which to me is insane. And like, I really wanna be able to change that in New York. And I get to see some cool stuff happening underground, but it's like not, you know, you're not able to do that legitimately because of a law that makes absolutely no sense.
You know, the thing that kind of bothers me about the process of cannabis legalization, right, is that it has to pander to the status quo, right? Like, you have to demonstrate that there's a tax benefit and, you know, give it, like, do a massive percentage sales tax on the weed for that to be, like, relevant. They have to say, like, oh, the money goes towards schools. Like, to me, it's a way, right? Like, they say that the activists managed to get cannabis legalized when they, like, you know, went the suit route. You know what I mean? They put on ties and lobbied and like did all this shit and they like grew up and, you know, and finally got it done. To me, the thing is like that was the way to do it, right? But it's still so wrong because it still treats cannabis as like this, like, oh, this dangerous thing. Like, frankly, like you shouldn't have to be 21 to buy cannabis. You know what I'm saying? It's less dangerous than tobacco. Like, it's
definitely less dangerous than tobacco.
And absolutely, most of America, you can buy tobacco at 18. And, you know, to another point, it's like the all the crazy, like, you know, measures and shit. Like, they should just let people grow weed at home. I don't think what like people realize that,
correct,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. At a certain point, this was just like a vegetable that you could grow at home and like, you know, where it grows wild. And that's what most people did. And yet, you know, we're going the opposite route and like totally commodifying it. Weed cannot exist outside of its like state sanctioned, you know, zoned grow house. And then it can't leave that thing in anything except a certain type of state sanctioned container. And they can only be sold here. It can only be smoked in the privacy of your home.
Right.
It's still treated like this poison. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So regulations are a really big challenge for this industry because no one knows how to regulate this thing the right way, and every system's a little different, which is like crazy if you're trying to do business and you have to figure out how to play in this industry, and each state has completely different market dynamics. for the same product, which is like, you know, or is it the same product, you know, because it probably isn't, right? You know,
cannabis has proven time and time again to be a pretty bipartisan issue. Like, it seems like, you know, Democrats and Republicans, conservatives and liberals alike.
They all get high.
They all get high, right? And they're all for, like, cannabis legalization, like, regardless of your political leanings. I think we've just come to that point where all that propaganda, you know, of the 20th century has now worn off, or the people who are under its effects have, like, died off mostly, right? And now there's some common sense beyond politics, you know, when it comes down to whether people think we should legalize or not.
You know, I think one thing that hasn't happened yet, which is major, is the medical and the adult use side have to really separate. Like, right now, they're bucketed together in most situations.
Sold in the same stores in a lot of places.
Yeah, and the thing is, though, that true medical, we are, like, under-equipped to do because of the lack of research. And really, that's not what the market's interested in. That market, like, the money is in the recreational, or sorry, excuse me, not recreational, the adult use.
Oh, wait, why? What's the, is that the preferred term now?
I think recreational, so I've heard some people say that they don't like that association because it's,
oh, yeah,
like,
that's a thing now?
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
So this is the thing where they say, and this is something that Pinsky says too, right, is that there's no such thing as recreational weed. Like, it's all medical. And I kind of agree with
that. It's all wellness, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that, like, I don't smoke cannabis, like, I mean, I enjoy it, you know, but, like, just because I enjoy it doesn't mean I'm just doing it, you know, for recreational purposes. Like, I do like to get high, but I do feel good, or I feel better, yeah, you know, beyond just being stoned.
I was telling you earlier, like, I must be the only guy that, since I've gotten into the cannabis world, I've started smoking less pot.
Yeah, how the fuck is that?
Well, I've been vaping and eating more pot, you know, a lot of edibles, because they're just so fun for me. You know, some people, edibles have no effect on, but some people really, if you know your dosage, it's so convenient and just great.
Right then, my buddy Skeletor came through and he brought some flowers as well as a really fancy edible. They were raw vegan bars infused with cannabis. Skeletor is one of my most trusted weed men, and he always comes through with some fancy shit. What do you got for us today, Skeletor?
For today, we have forbidden fruit. It's purple and orange, very fruity and delectable.
And it smells crazy, crazy strong, very aromatic. I can smell it all the way across the table over here.
Well, what I'm rolling up is called Animal Cookies, grown in Portland, Oregon by the Resin Ranchers.
And that's not weed. Those are actual, he's just crushing animal crackers up on the table and he's gonna roll them up. And if you haven't tried it, you should try it. Are you crazy? You haven't heard that people smoke animal crackers? Get with it. Google it, smoke animal crackers. You heard it here first.
These are just some gorgeous, beautiful buds.
Yeah, really, really nice. Wow, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit has, can I see that for a sec?
Yeah, take a look at the forbidden fruit.
Dude, there's a certain level of flowers that just, like, it becomes, wow, like this crispy, like, popcorn puff. Just like, it's so, so covered in crystals and little hairs. And it has that deep smell. You know, like, the way I used to describe it, when I was in college, I used to get my weed from, like, hippie, like, fish dudes, you know? And I would be like, give me that weed you got that smells like medicine. You know what I mean? Like, that's what this shit is. It smells like medicine. You want to see this, Mark?
It is medicine. This is medicinal marijuana.
That's what's up.
Yeah, 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 exactly. It just smells like it.
They sell this in the medicinal section at the dispensary.
It's like a dark purple inside. That's beautiful.
Yeah, right? It's, like, so green on the outside and, like, crunchy on the inside. But yeah, wait, so we've also got some, what are these, candy bars? What is this?
This is a raw vegan edible, and they are made with love and cannabis.
Yeah? With your love? Or
no, we have a vegan chef, and he's the best chef around.
Ooh, this smells good.
Brooklyn made, man.
No shit. And how strong is... Oh, wow. This looks amazing. So this is like a chocolate bar. So it's vegan chocolate, I'm guessing,
cacao,
right?
Cacao. Yeah, with banana chips and chia seeds.
And it's like all nutty.
Coconut oil.
It smells like coconut. So it's infused coconut oil that's in this?
Yes, medicinal coconut oil.
And I'm going to try a bite of this before I ask you how strong it is.
It varies per person.
Wow.
Yeah. that's what I should say on all edibles packages. Varies
your
by person.
May vary.
Yeah. No, yeah. Oh, wow. That's really tasty.
Yeah. Even without the weed, it's pretty good.
You try that, Mike?
No. Fuck, I will.
You can buy it, buddy.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's amazing. So Skeletor and I had an interesting counter the other day. We all got one of your buddies, and something that came up at one point that I thought was interesting, I thought about a little bit after, was that he was like, oh, you know, you shoot a bunch of weed stuff or do a bunch of weed, you know, journalism, like, where do you usually go? And I was like, well, like, 80% of the time, I'm in Colorado, right? I go there a lot. And he was like, oh, I feel sorry for you. You have to smoke their shit weed. They're like, and I was like, I wouldn't say it's like shit weed. You know what I mean? It's like it's weed. It's like really good weed. And like, okay, Northern Cali weed, I'll admit, is better. It's perhaps the best weed like in the world. Or like, you know, Northwest, you know, Oregon, Washington. They have fantastic weed, right? It's really good. It's probably better than Colorado weed too. Yeah. But
I wouldn't say it's the best. It's just more flavorful.
Yeah, and it's good. But Colorado weed is still really, really good.
It's grown in the mountains. Mm-hmm. It's just delicious.
There is a prevailing attitude, though, right, that, oh, like, you know, there's a competitive nature to weed. Like, our weed is better. Like, you know, oh, like, their weed shit, ours is better. Oh, you got to do bigger dabs. Like, oh, your dabs are shit. Like, mine's like, my glass is better. To me, like, being that competitive is totally missing the point of that enlightening effect that cannabis can and should have on you. You know
it's
what
community.
I mean?
We should have a community aspect instead of a competitional aspect.
Yeah.
Because what is weed without sharing it with each other and knowing how good it tastes if you can't try it?
Yeah, it's like a kid eating acid and going to a rave. Like, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of kids do it, but, like, that's... And I don't want to say this is how you should do a drug because that seems authoritarian, but, like, that's kind of not how you do it. Like, I would not recommend to anyone to take acid and go to a rave. That's... Yeah, I mean, unless you're also doing, like, you know, ecstasy or something to pick you up. Otherwise, you'd just be like, look at all these people. Like, what's wrong with them? Know. You know? Like, I don't know. It's like, it feels weird.
Depends on the rave, I think.
Depends on the rave. If I'm tripping, I like to, like, you know, like, look at somebody and be like, oh, man, that man is, like, tying his shoelaces. He just wants his shoes to stay on. You know what I mean? Like, if you're at, like, a rave, you see, like... You know.
Overstimulated.
Yeah, it's just like you see somebody doing some crazy shit wearing like fucking translucent orange fairy wings and like, you know, and like a Davy Crockett hat, like fucking beer bonging like Special K or whatever the fuck they do at the rave. What's that?
Where's this rave at?
Yeah, I know, right? And finally, we finish things up with a conversation about friendship on acid. And not that I've never had like a bad trip, you know, really, but... I don't know. I do like, you know, when you meet new people on acid, I don't think, I don't know. It might be a truer perception of that person, but it doesn't function as well in the real world.
Yeah.
I think.
Interesting.
You ever made a friend on acid? Like while you were tripping? Like a new friend?
That's a good question.
Besides like yourself or whatever.
I think you just see people as characters. Because you can't see yourself anymore. You're not yourself. You're just the environment. So you're those people.
So you guys haven't made a friend on acid is what you're saying, right?
I've made mad friends on shrooms.
Yeah?
Acid's more like solo, you know?
Yeah? What kind of friends do you make on shrooms?
Musicians. People like in the street dancing, crazy outfits. People you want to find.
People you would avoid on a normal day.
Yes. Those are the magic folk. They bring you to strange places.
Are they usually on mushrooms too?
They're on like spiritual shit, mushrooms, weed, people.
Okay, so what you're telling us is there's an entire like community of people in New York
gotta find them.
Who are wandering the streets in crazy outfits and dancing and shit. And they're all on some kind of spiritual mushroom fueled quest.
I was one of those people. I was one of those people. So do the math. There has to be like 300 other people that had to do the same thing.
That's true.
In the city.
And you have walked with these people.
I've found these people because I've been. You walk and you find.
And where did they take you?
To the park. To where the music and the community is.
Good place to be.
And what did you guys do there?
They smoked a weed.
Yeah.
And danced. And then I was like, all right, have a great day.
So, Skeletor, Mike wrote a book, and it's called
The Entrepreneur's Guide to Cannabis.
The Entrepreneur's Guide to Cannabis.
Yeah.
And it's about weed.
I interviewed like 50 of the industry's top leaders. I just got in touch with all of these people and asked them the same set of questions, which were centered around advice for entrepreneurs and people who want to be in cannabis. And I took all of that, concentrated it together, and put it into an ebook. And you can get it on Amazon. You can go on entrepreneur420.com and get it. Or go to Amazon and type in The Entrepreneur's Guide to Cannabis. The book costs $420. It's a quick read.
$420, ladies and gentlemen. A small price to pay for all of the secrets.
But it's worth it. Yeah.
Give us a little free tip. What's a little cannabis entrepreneurship tip from the book to whet people's appetite?
I think one of the things is you have to be an activist if you want to be an entrepreneur in this industry. That's like a bare minimum. Two is there's ways that this industry is unlike any other industry, and you have to understand those variables and adjust to that. And it's complicated. You know, you could meet people and never really know who's who because there's no like record books of the cannabis industry, you know, or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, so there's a lot of misinformation. I think it's all about people. It's all about relationships and working with people that you really trust. It's in some ways, it's just like any other industry. You have to know the key skills of entrepreneurship if you want to be a cannabis entrepreneur. And entrepreneurship in and of itself is difficult. You know, so like invest in your entrepreneurship education. There's a bunch of books you can read about it. There's a bunch of resources for you. You know, like go meet people who are doing that so you have a community of like-minded people who support you. You know, like my whole thing is I just want people to put their talents to use and get motivated. And I think this is a great way for people to engage in real change that could be really important.
Fuck yeah, dude. And props to you for, you know, making that shit happen.
Thank you.
All I want is for people to listen to this fucking podcast. That's really my only goal, personal or social.
Nice.
Skeletor, what's the name of your book?
My book, it's called We Got Insurance. It's coming out in September. Come to the gallery show.
Nice. Good shit, man. Well, thank you guys for hanging out. I'm going to finish this edible. And yeah, we'll see you next time on Tea Time with T-Kid. Peace. That's it for this episode. Thanks so much to Mike and Skeletor for coming through and hanging out. Our editor and engineer, Mark Leombroni, and our producers, Zach Sokol and Wilbert Cooper. See you next time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.